Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays, but I don't see anything in the scripture that prevents it. So
Enjoy your day. So amen to that. All right, so happy birthday to you, and then to everyone else. I think I was off on the month for the first of Nisan. I said like the 8th or 9th of March, but it really is the 9th of April. So I was off by a month. So we still got another month to go. So I want to make a correction on that, that we will, we're going to be finishing up this series tonight, which, you know, still would have been by the 9th of March. It is 9 April. And so I want to make a correction on that and have you to adjust your schedule if you were planning based upon what I said. We would be a month early. And I don't want to do that. Don't know how I got into that frame of mind. Maybe I'm just in a hurry for it. It will be 9 April. Will be the beginning of the year, the new year. And so that would make around the 23rd or the 24th of April will be Passover. And then whatever, let me look at the calendar real quick. 14 days from the 9th is the 23rd of April. So then Feast of Unleavened will start on the 23rd of April. Passover would be the 23rd. And then that Friday would be the weekly Sabbath, which would be the 26th. So the 28th would be the heave offering, the Feast of the First Fruits here. Feast of the First Fruits, because that Sabbath is within the same week, and the first Sunday would be the 28th of April. So we will be doing this stuff in April, and I think on the original calendar I had it right, but somewhere in my thoughts, my brain, I said March, I believe last week. And so went and looked at it again today and like, oh, snap. I'm off in my mind. The calendar is correct. And so the 9th of April would be the new year, the first of Nisan. We'll also be celebrating Messiah's birthday at that time. And then 14 days after that. So 2 weeks after that will be the 23rd. So I stand corrected on that. I pray that you correct your schedule as well if you adjusted it. We are going to be talking about restitution on tonight. And this is the end of the Black History Week for us. Even though, you know, the Black History Month is over, there's a lot to cover. And, you know, I actually went out on Ancestry. And we had done a DNA test. I had done a DNA test and had one done. My wife had one done maybe 10 years ago, something like that. And in that time, a lot of people have gone out and done DNA tests. And so I went out there looking today because I had said, you know, when we first started the reparations series, that it would be very hard for any of us to prove that we were actually ever slaves, if we're going by birthright. And so I had called my sister and didn't get a hold of her today because she's the family historian. And I had looked at the family tree, what she had in there, and I don't show her showing us back to slavery. You can go back to the 1830s, but you know, my mother's maiden name, Storrs, I know that came from a white family, and we could find them, the white Storrs, their history. We found, you know, our family, but doesn't actually say where we got that name from. And I know we didn't come from Africa with that name. And on my father's side, it's just like people are finally starting to pop up, but I don't know who the heck they are. I don't know how to tie them in, you know, and truthfully, I don't even know if my real last name is Miles from my father. And so, you know, trying to tie this stuff together, I'll just say by the bloodline, I have not found it possible to do yet. Okay, so I was going out looking, and so Ancestry said that they had found people with my bloodline and the segment of the United States that we come from, that we seem to be grouped in, is in, you know, the South, in Alabama and Georgia, that area. But they're saying there's like 16,000 of us that they can group together that have taken the test, and only 400 of us who have shared our results. But 16,000, you know, and I don't know those 16,000 on my mother or father's side, nowhere near it. So, you know, it is, it's amazing and confusing at the same time. But I do know, me personally, I cannot go back and tie myself to slavery, even though I know that my ancestors were. And I know that, you know, we did not migrate into this from, you know, the islands or anything like that. But actually proving it, because, you know, I'm saying this because I also went and looked at, you know, what are the arguments for not paying us reparations? You know, what would the opponents say? And I'm going to go over some of that tonight just so that you can have food for thought, so that you can write down some of those things that you may come up against if they ever decide to pay reparations. Some of the things that the opponent of reparations can say in regards to how do we know we're paying the right people, that kind of stuff. So, you know, all of us can say that we came through slavery. But then a matter of proving it is a whole nother deal. And that is, you know, that's really concerning to me, because all my life, I never really considered that we would have to prove that. Never came across my mind, you know, it's really something new to me that we, you know, a new concept that we would ever have to prove that our descendants were slaves. And so those people who don't want to pay us, but want to treat us that way, and we want to say, well, you know, you can't prove you were ever a slave, then, you know, just for the way that they have treated us, we would deserve some type of reparation. Nevertheless, as I dug into this, and as I said, biblically, as we use biblical principles, and I'm going to do some of that tonight with this restitution, and we'll just look at how this might look. How this could look. Now, I truly believe in my heart of hearts, that we will not receive reparations from this country. And I believe that we will not receive reparations from this country because the scripture says we would not be redeemed. No man would buy us. We know we were bought and sold. But I believe that when it's saying no man would buy us, that it was saying that, you know, none of our relatives would be able to buy us back. Because that's what redeem meant. They would come and pay the debt, whatever we owed, or, you know, however they would get us out of slavery. And so, you know, we would not be redeemed that way. Kinsman redemption. And so it's hard for us to even know who is our blood kinsman. Only way that we could do it, because, you know, the record for our people were so poorly kept by the people who took us captive, that they basically lost our heritage, lost our history, and if we didn't keep it by the family, you know, how could you? If you were separated, if you happen to be separated, you know, the child was taken from the family, so forth and so on. And so for many of us, I'm not going to say many of us, most of us, we can't really go back and say, you know, this is a bloodline relative 100 years ago. Very hard to do. You know, we have a hard enough time going in the 1900s, much less the 1800s or the 1700s. And so a lot of this is going to depend upon DNA. And we are kind of at the mercy of the system in that we're not in control of that. So I'm just looking at if, you know, this was to come about, then some of the things that we need to consider. But I truly believe, as I said in my heart of hearts, that the Most High, when Messiah returns and when he causes us to be gathered, that he's actually going to do the same thing that he did for us coming out of Egypt, that he will have us to spoil them. He will make it to where they'll be so happy to get rid of us that they'll be like, here, take whatever you need. We're going to give you whatever you need and, you know, send us on our way. I believe that that's the way the Most High did it before, and that's the way he's going to do it again. And what, you know, the coming out of Egypt was a type and a shadow, the first one, because our ancestors spent 400 years in slavery in Egypt. That was their total time in Egypt. They're sojourning in Egypt. But the time of slavery was about between 64 and 120 years. If we can come up with 120, I know I can count for about 64 years. Maybe 80, if I use the life of Moses. But I know that we were not in slavery. Our ancestors were not in slavery 400 years. And so that captivity, that slavery, didn't last that long there. Did last that long in this country. And we are still, as far as the books are concerned, we are slaves to the federal government. They took ownership. And so they're saying, hey, we're granting you civil rights and we're granting you certain freedoms. But that stuff can be undone. And we as a people aren't hip to that. We aren't hip to it. And it's not at the federal government level. It's at the state level. So a lot of those states that were Confederate states that were against, you know, freeing the slaves and wanted slavery, they could very easily turn around and change their constitutions again. They can, you know, we can have a civil war again. And they can change their constitutions and say, hey, we don't, you know, follow the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment of the United States of America. So we have to be mindful of these things, and we have to make our children mindful of these things because we've taken some things for granted that appear to be one way, but in reality, legally, under their laws, you know, we could be bamboozled. We could be stabbed in the back and end up going back into what we felt like we were out of. And, you know, a lot of the brothers saying they'll fight. They'll do this, they'll do that. And we should be willing to fight if that should happen. I'll say that straight out. I believe our forefathers should have been willing to fight, but they took young kids and brought them into slavery. For the most part, they were young kids. Between 12 and 20 years old. So, you know, with that being said, you know, if it were to happen again and we were alive, then I would say, you know, I would tell them, hey, fight with everything you have. It's much better to die for your freedom than to be taken into slavery again. And so, that's one of the things that, you know, I wish our forefathers had the strength to do. Not right now, because I'm teaching right now. So, not right now, okay?
What?
What did I just say? Okay, thank you. All right, so we have to be mindful of those things. We want to cover those tonight. You know, looking at this thing, you know, they'll say that everybody born in the United States after that amendment was ratified, that they are free citizens. But that, you know, that's at the federal level. And we got to know that there's two different governments within our own government. We got state and we got federal. And the federal is supposed to work for the state. The states are the ones that really have the power. And so we have to understand that. That's the way our system works. And so, you know, the federal government has done some things and taken some power from the states. But the states have the right to secede from the union. They can leave the union. They can leave the United States of America. And a lot of them have threatened to do so. Just like at the border in Texas right now. And they got an army made up of the state army, not the U.S. Army, different states, and this is separate from the National Guard in each state. It is each state's separate defense force. And many of the Republican states have sent troops to the border to fight, you know, the immigration problem there. And the governor of Texas said, you know, hey, we're going to take this into our own hands. And they're actually going to be fighting against the federal government. And so we got to understand the times that we're in, the nation that we're in. We got to understand really how it operates, because I don't think that a lot of us have a clue as to how this is really operating. And you know, much less our young people. And so being retired military and knowing the force, the weaponry that the U.S. military has, and the states have the same weaponry because the federal government gave it to them. You know, if we were trying to come up against something like that, we would not stand a chance. Even against the police department, we would really not stand a chance. And so we as a people have to know that where we are at, and then we have to be preparing. And there's a certain amount of there is a certain amount of sacrificing that we have to be willing to do as a people. You know, we can't simply just lay down and say, you know, oh well, because it will happen again. And the people we're dealing with, they have shown that it will happen again. They have not forgotten. And the ones that have been complicit, sat by quietly and allowed it to happen, they will do the same thing again. So we got to understand that, you know, a lot of them don't want to be associated with slavery. But if they feel like the vast majority of them want it, the history has shown that they will lay down and allow it to happen. And we as a people have to decide, are we cattle or are we men and women? Are we people? Are we the true chosen of the Most High? And, you know, is this part of his punishment? Because I think that period is over, as far as the punishment dispensed by him. So this would be their doing. And the scripture says that, you know, that they would conspire to do things like that, and they have in the past, and they will again. And so we have to be mindful of these things. That being said, you know, I'm speaking to, as I said, the Christian who understands the true meaning of the word, the believer that believes in Messiah, that believes in keeping the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High, to keep his feast days, that are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, because they are the true children of the Most High. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. Got to have those things. If not, just going through the motions. I don't care who we are. We're just going through the motions if we don't have that. Have not been adopted by him, because we have to be adopted by him, born of his spirit, and chosen by him, and to live that life. So, you know, this is not to discourage anybody. It's not to discriminate. It's to, you know, make us all do a gut check. Are we, and do we know that we know that we know that we know that we are the children of the Most High, or are we just going through the motions? Because what's coming, what I foresee is coming, and because of our apathy and because of our lack of being able to come together as a people, being, you know, using anything and everything to divide us, and even if they paid us reparations, I'm going to look at, you know, what potentially we could get. We would, you know, stay individualized. We would not unite. And that's going to be a problem, a big problem. And, you know, it's not, if they were to do it this way, it is not a lot of money that each one of us would get, with considering, you know, as a pile of money it is. But if we do it individually, it's not a lot of money, and it can go very quickly. And so if we're not able to unite as a people, we will be in trouble. That being said, let me get off this soapbox. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Far East, the Middle East, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let us do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, Elohim. We just give you glory and honor and praise on today. And we lift you up, Father, and we magnify your name. Lord, we adore thee, O God, Elohim. We adore thee and we love thee. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We just bow down to you on today. And we worship you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We just bestow our adoration on you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for this evening, for this Shabbat, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, As I said, we are finishing up and wrapping up this series. James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If we are, may the Most High bless you to the reading and hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. I'm so anxious to jump into this. The sounding of the shofar.
The ocean needs the spring.
I need
you. and here is my life. Laying it before you. Tell me, where else would I go? What else would I do? If I didn't know you, oh, how deep I am.
How deeply I need you,
my Lord.
I need you.
Everywhere I go, I need you.
Into this precept. This is going to be the last of this series. Restitution. What are we owed? Now, I went and I looked from 1816 or 1819 at, you know, what America had paid restitution for previously to other people. And it seems that, you know, they really don't want to, the only people they really don't want to pay is us. And the truth of the matter is that this country has paid restitution to many different people, many different countries, whenever we have gone to war, whenever we have, you know, imprisoned people like we did the Japanese during World War I or II. We have paid restitution when we went to war in a country. We have rebuilt countries. And the truth of the matter is, like that, we have paid the Holocaust survivors. those of the Ashkenazi Jews who went through the Holocaust in Europe. America has paid them for what they went through. Now, that was done by the Germans, but America paid for some of it. So, you know, reparations is not something new. For this government and for what they have done to other people. But when it comes to the Hebrew Israelite, the so-called Negro, then they don't want to pay for what they have done. So what they did for the Japanese when they imprisoned them during World War II, the Japanese Americans were interned in camps by the U.S. government. The Civil Liberties Act of 1988 formally apologized for these actions and provided restitution payments of $20,000 to each surviving detainee. Now, it was new enough that they said, hey, we're not going to pay their ancestors or their descendants. We're going to pay those that are still alive that this happened to, okay? In 1971, the Act of 1971, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement, compensating Alaskan Natives for the loss of their ancestral lands, providing both money and land to Native corporations and communities. Don't know how much that was, but they paid them for it. The victims of eugenics, where they, some of the black community and other communities, where they went in and they were sterilizing the men and the women. They paid some of those people, like the state of North Carolina and Virginia, have provided compensation to victims of forced sterilization under state eugenics programs that were in place in the 20th century. Let's talk about foreign claims. The U.S. settled claims of other nations and foreign nationals over the years through various means, including the Foreign Claims Settlement Commission. This includes restitution or compensation related to expropriations and nationalizations and other losses suffered by American citizens abroad. You know, where some people lost their citizenship while they were abroad, some people weren't allowed to naturalize, and the U.S. government paid them. The Marshall Plan, post-war assistance. While not restitution in direct sense of compensating for wrongs, the Marshall Plan and other post-World War II assistance programs provided significant aid to Europe for recovery. Now, we went to war against Hitler and the Axis countries, Italy, and I don't know if it was part of the Axis nations. I know Germany, Italy, and I don't know the other nations that fought with Hitler, okay? Japan during that time. And, you know, we went to help protect them. And we ended up rebuilding Europe. Now, whatever those deals were, we're coming to their rescue. And so we helped rebuild those nations. As I said, the Holocaust survivors from World War II, they helped them, they paid them compensation to them and their heirs, the survivors and their heirs. They recovered stolen assets and payments for slave and forced labor. Now, they paid them for the slavery that they were put in by the Germans, but they don't want to pay up. So the U.S. has played a role in facilitating some of those settlements. So those are some of the things over the years within our lifetime that this government has done to pay other people for damages done by this country or that we helped in, this country helped in. And so this is the basis for why they should pay us reparations, because they illegally brought us to this country. And they illegally made us prisoners of war that, you know, they declare war on us, Spain, Portugal, England, all those European countries declared war on us at the behest of the Catholic Church, the Pope, and stole us and brought us to this country. Now, we should be getting paid from all those entities, but this is the country that benefited from our enslavement. In the U.S., can't talk about Brazil or those other places. So we can only talk about the U.S. This is where I'm at, and this is, you know, what I have done the research on. So for centuries, Hebrew Israelites have faced injustices that began with the theft of freedom through slavery, continue with the theft of civil rights, segregation, and Jim Crow laws, and persist today in the form of systematic inequality. We still are being discriminated against. We still are facing prejudice. If we are able to take the biblical principle of restitution seriously, and we have to take it seriously, this is what I believe that we have to demand our restitution from. This is who we say we follow, so we cannot go outside, you know, the Bible as Hebrew Israelites. How then should white Christian America respond to the cumulative economic impact of these injustices, estimated by some as high as $40 trillion? Now, let's say that that was $40 trillion. Okay, that's a lot of money. $1 trillion, if we look at it like this, $1 million is 1,000,000. Okay, $1 billion is 1,000,000,000. So if you had 1,000 people with $1 million, you'd have $1 billion. $1 trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. Okay, 40 of those is what they say we are owed. Estimated that we are owed. Now let's say that that number is in fact true, and that's what we are owed. Then that's not their total payment. As a minimum, the scriptures call for 1/5 of a penalty. So that would be 20%. That would be $8 trillion more dollars as a minimum that they would have to pay restitution if they're saying that the estimate is $40 trillion. Then the biblical principle, using biblical principle, 1/5, 20% would be $8 trillion. Divide that $40 trillion by in five times eight, 40, so it would be $8 trillion more. So that would be $48 trillion as a minimum. But we know that a lot of the scriptures call for 2, 3, 4, up to 5 times the amount to make the situation whole. And so I'm just going to stick with the 1/5 for right now. And if they said, oh, we owe you $40 trillion, and we're going to pay 1/5 of that, another $8 trillion. Then if we divided that by every, I'm going to say, black African-American, because if I say African-American, that can include a lot of people, anybody from the continent of Africa that happens to have American citizenship. And see, this is the way they use words. You know, my father-in-law created a flag, and he called it the African-American Unity Flag. And he showed it to some people. And this white woman from Africa said, thank you. Thank you for creating us a flag, because she was from Africa and she was an American citizen. So by definition, she would be an African-American. Well, the flag wasn't really designed for her and her people. But because of that title that they gave us, anybody from anywhere on the continent of Africa that claims American citizenship would be an African American. I don't care what country they come from. Kenya, Morocco, Algeria, Egypt, Congo, any of the, I think it's 100 and some odd countries in Africa. If they have come to the U.S. and become citizens, they would be technically African-Americans. So I want to qualify that by saying black African-Americans whose ancestors came through slavery, so-called Hebrew Israelites, those that were forced in, you know, to slavery by the transatlantic slave trade. They're saying that there are 47 million of us in the U.S. today. Don't know how true that number is, but if we use that figure, 47 million, and we divided it equally among ourselves, we would all get roughly $1 million, a little bit over $1 million. Now, that might sound like a lot, and all 47 million would be millionaires. And I would say that we would have to tell the government, yeah, and that can't be taxable either because they would tax it by 50% and we'd only get 500,000. But if, let's say they divided it equally, then we would all get $1 million. That sounds like a lot. But in fact, $1 million today would not go a whole long way. And it'd be very easy to spend $1 million very quickly. So a lot of us would end up broke, I would say, in a matter of 2 or 3 years, because we are a consuming nation of people. Our habit is to consume, and it's not to actually save, but it's to consume, and that, you know, that's what all the other nations depend upon us for. All the other ethnicities in the U.S. depend upon us buying and consuming among them. And so a lot of our people would go broke real quick. They would have the money, then they wouldn't have it. And a lot of them would lose it. So $1 million sounds like a lot. We as a people were, you know, remain separated. As a people, you know, if we didn't come together as a group, then that, a lot of us would go broke real quick. If we did come together as a group, then, you know, we would have to be organized, very organized, and make sure that, you know, all the people who are part of the group are being taken care of. And we need to do that in a biblical way, just my understanding. Okay, now I'm doing the analysis. And I'm looking at the numbers, and, you know, I said, hey, $48 trillion. If we were to say, okay, we don't know who went through slavery or who didn't. This is who's in the country right now. And this is who's claiming to be black African American. Now, of course, I don't know if that would include, you know, those that are Hamitic. But I'm just using that number because don't have time to delve into it that deep to say, okay, how many are from the continent of Africa recently? You know, migrated here, yada, yada, yada. Using that number, 47 million, we would get $1 million a piece. And going elsewhere in the world with $1 million, if we went to Africa, we would be king and queen. But I have a feeling that no matter where we went, the government would try to take advantage, okay? But our nature within itself, in and of itself, if we are in America, we are consumers, okay? And so the vast majority of us would be broke really quick. So I don't think that's the best way to go with us. Now, if they gave us 5 times that amount, then just say we multiply the million by 5, we would all get 5 million. Okay, again, we would look at that money because we are, our habit is to consume, you know, and a lot of us are caught up in the flashiness of life. Well, I want these rags. get into, you know, selling drugs and all kind of illegal things because we want the life that's portrayed on TV. So I don't think that we would, as a people, benefit greatly from it if we were not able to unite and if we weren't of one mind. And I know that that's a pipe dream right now. Nevertheless, for those that could come together, you know, if we came together, then with that kind of money, a lot of nations in the world don't have that type of money, not even now. They're free, you know, they're run by whoever. They don't have that type of money. We could be a nation in and of ourselves if we would unite. And we, you know, we can't unite with the spirit that we already have. It would just not work. So when the scripture says we would not be redeemed, I know that this country would say that it cannot afford $200 trillion to give to one group of people, okay, and they would not do it, all right? They would not follow that principle. But if they did, then we would get $5 million apiece, or a little bit over $5 million. If, you know, we would probably consume it right here in this country, and we would be giving it right back to them. Those nations, those ethnicities, because we are consumers. We don't really have businesses and things of our own. And when we do, we don't really actually support our own businesses. So it would not turn out pretty. Now, I honestly believe that the Most High, when he comes back to gather us, because what the world is going to do, when he comes back to gather us and cause them to, he's going to cause them to bring us to him. Then he's going to also cause them to supply us, more or less us spoiling them, and they're giving us the riches, and we reestablish the nation of Israel, truly reestablish the true nation of Israel with those riches at that time. So that's what I truly believe is going to happen. But we're looking at what does restitution look like in what they've done and what it looks like biblically, what they owe us, okay, because they have committed atrocities against us. And if we were to get what we were owed, then by their own estimate, they're saying $40 trillion. And $40 trillion, if they say that's what they owe us, then that does not pay for damages, pain and suffering. It doesn't pay for that. That's what we owe because that's the labor that we put in that we didn't get paid for. So they will still owe us pain and suffering and whatever else comes with that. And so it couldn't stop at $40 trillion. That's their number. Then we'd have to say, well, you know, pain and suffering, you guys owe us X. And what would be what we say as a people would make us whole, would make us, you know, able to forgive. So that's a number that we would have to look at. But that's what, you know, the scriptures say. So in order for that to happen, then white America would have to admit to what it has done and that it owes this debt to us as a people. Okay, have to acknowledge it. And then they would have to truly repent of the wrong and want to pay us. And they would have to commit to, really, they really wouldn't even have to commit to ways of turning around or perpetuating the injustice. What they would have to do is, if we wanted to leave this country with those riches, allow us to go. If we wanted to stay, then just repent. For those that wanted to stay, because it, you know, would there be a certain faction of them that have a lot of animosity? Yes. Would there be those that be like, oh yeah, you guys deserve it? Yes. There's, you know, there's no absolute anywhere. And no absolute that they would all be for it. No absolute that they would all be against it. But this is what would have to happen. Okay. And so if we said, hey, we want to all leave and go to Liberia, which Liberia was actually made for us in Africa. But what it has turned into today, I don't know. And could we actually go there? And what will we do to that economy? We show up with $40 trillion in that economy. You know, it upsets things. Now, their rich people look, you know, really poor. And so no matter where we go as a people, if it wasn't where the Most High said to go, we would be bringing trouble with us. If they paid us no reparations at all, and we just got on boats, and said we're going back to the continent of Africa, we would cause a problem wherever we went. And so we got to know that, okay? In Exodus chapter 22, let's go there. The book of Exodus chapter 22. So how does this actually really look? We're looking at biblically. Now, as I said, they told us, they've estimated that this is what we would be owed for lost wages because of all the labor that our ancestors gave. And then, you know, I think that number would even be higher because even when they did start paying us, they paid us less. When they would, you know, give us quotes for how much our crops were worth, it was never worth what they were worth. Just cheated us left and right. But we'll stick with the number. Let's say 43, and that's what they say. Then we have to say, okay, that's what you owe us, but you also owe us for pain. You also owe us for suffering, the things that you put us through. So let's go to Exodus chapter 22. Let's see here, Exodus chapter 22. And we sort of went over this before. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep or kill it and sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox, a four sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood be shed for him. If the sun be rising upon him, there shall be a blood shed for him, where he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he should be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or an ass, sheep, he shall restore double. So if he kills it, then he owed five times. Now they took, and they more or less have taken, you can't even say what they have taken from us. And so I would think that this would fall in the five times category, okay? But as a minimum, the one-fifth category, where they would pay one-fifth, 20%. So this is using the biblical principle. If they use this, may involve advocating for supporting policies and initiatives that aim to redress historical injustices, such as investment in Hebrew Israelite communities, support for educational opportunities, health care access, and other means of economic empowerment. You know, I would really say that we would have to develop our own institution because, you know, banking, educational, health care, all of those things are based upon their society, their laws. If we went by biblical laws, then it would be illegal for any of our banks to make us a loan with interest. That's against our laws. I cannot loan you money as my brother or sister and charge you usury, interest, and neither could the bank do that to us. Now, they could charge another people, and that's why they do it to us. And, you know, maybe that's why they're giving themselves better interest. But they're so greedy that they'll charge their own people. But our laws would say that we couldn't charge each other interest. So if we would have got, you know, if we got a loan for $100,000, that's what we would owe, $100,000. And for whatever length it was, if it's over 50 years, you got 50 years to pay that $100,000 back with no interest. Okay, we can't charge each other usury. We can charge another people usury. We can't charge our own people. So if we went to them and allowed them to control these things for us, then we would be up under their system still, and they would be taking the money. Just like, what was the guy that played in Black Panther that died? You know, his estate was like $5 million. And, you know, his wife got 1.5, his children got 1.5, and then the government took half. And that's the way they would do it. So rather than, you know, him being able to pass $5 million to his family, the government took half of it. Under our laws, that would be illegal under biblical law. And so we got to understand that we would have to be controlling this stuff ourselves. Because how can you get ahead if they are taxing you so heavy that you lose half of what you have to begin with? So up under our laws, we wouldn't lose half. So we would need to open up our own institution, our own bank, our own educational, you know, colleges, schools. And we would have to really abide by the biblical principle. And you know, we have a corrupt generation. We've been corrupt for a long time. And that's the truth we know. When it comes biblically, if we really tell the truth, we've been corrupt for a long time. And so it would be tough love for a lot of us. A lot of us. Tough love. And, you know, we would really have to do what Messiah said. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. And just a second. Let me search for what I want here. Go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Because we would really have to practice this. We would really have to enforce this because we are in bad shape. Okay. And you know, so the younger ones and even a lot of the older ones, that's why it's hard for us to come together because we don't want to live up under this. And if we do it ourselves, then we would have issues. Okay. And he that overcometh and keepeth my word unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Verse 27. And he shall rule them, but we have to rule us with a rod of iron. See, we want to rule the nations with a rod of iron, but that means that we have to be in compliance. We can't have a double standard where we are not keeping the statutes, laws, commandments, and the ordinances of the Most High, and we're going to rule the nations with a rod of iron and make them keep it. That would be hypocritical, and that's not what Messiah wants. So we would have to rule ourselves with a rod of iron. That means that we would have to be whipping people into condition. And a lot of our people are not going to want that. Because it would, you know, that's why he says he's going to have to bring us into the wilderness of sin and destroy the rebels. Those among our people who would be rebellious, who wouldn't want to obey. They still want to do their thing. And so we got to understand that this would apply to us. And I see it very clearly that, you know, we would have to start with us, rule us ourselves with a rod of iron. And if we're not willing to do that, then we are never really willing to be a people, especially those that belong to the Most High. So So if they gave us this type of money, then we'd have to be willing to come together under those terms. And I know a lot of us would not. Even today, a lot of us don't want to. And we're wondering why we're having the issues that we're having. Because most of our people don't even want to be up under a law. They would rather be, like our forefathers, be up under the laws of the nation rather than be up under the laws of the Most High. So that's why I believe that Yah has said that he will not, it will not happen. And only when he returns will those who truly follow him, he's going to weed out the bad ones, whether they know they're Hebrew Israelite or not. You are my bloodline. You are the people I chose. Y'all bring them to the wilderness. I really believe it's going to be Sinai. Same place he brought us before. But it's going to be his doing. And the nation, Saudi Arabia, that controls Sinai right now, won't have a say in it. He'll bring us back there, and he'll deal with us as a people, and all those who are rebellious, he's going to kill. He says, even in front of the Gentiles that come, that are in obedience, that I'm going to kill them, kill you in front of them to show them that you don't get to do this to me and get away with it. And so we got to understand that we have to rule ourselves with a rod of iron. We have to be very strict with our own selves. And we are we're just in trouble, okay? Truth of the matter. And so for us to, you know, for the world to look up to us, as they're supposed to look up to us, we have to have that standard. And are we ready today? I don't think so. Maybe some things going on, I don't know, but I don't think so. From what I can see, I don't think so. That we're ready. Anyway, as far as reparations go, if they gave us this kind of money, then if we remain separate, then, like I said, very quickly a lot of us will go broke. But if we do unite as a people and we use the biblical principles, then we'd have to rule each other. We'd have to rule ourselves with a rod of iron. Because this is what Messiah is going to call for us to do to the nation, rule like he rules. And so if we're not willing to do that for ourselves, to ourselves, then we are in trouble. And I know many of us don't want to hear that, because we really don't want to have to do what we need to do. But I'm just being real. Cannot put on the nations what we aren't willing to do to ourselves. Cannot look forward to ruling the nations with a rod of iron if we won't rule ourselves with a rod of iron. Messiah is going to rule us with a rod of iron. He's going to strip all those that are with him to conform. Period. And those that won't will face him. Oh, you don't want me to rule over you? Bring him here and kill him. Chop him in two. That's in the scripture. See, we don't want to apply that to ourselves. But it's us. And if any of the saints, Jew or Gentile, that think that they can get in and not follow that order, this order. So we as a people have to be willing to do that right now for ourselves, and I don't think that we are. I know whenever I mention it to people, they ain't trying to hear it. So who do they think they're really going to be serving? And who do they, you know, self-serving. I get this money, I'm going to be like this, I'm going to be like that. I. Not we. Okay. But the Gentiles have to be of a mind that they are going to repent and that they are going to, you know, do this thing. Or the Most High has to return and say, okay, I'm going to cause this to happen. I really believe it's the latter. I'm going to cause this to happen, and I'm going to cause them to, you to spoil them. But it's going to be them doing like the Egyptians did. Here, take our fine gold and our linen and all these things, and we get up out of here when he calls for it. So even if they gave us this money and we tried to do it as a people, there's enough of us that are rebellious, and that's our nature to be rebellious, that if we aren't willing to rule ourselves with a rod of iron and build our own police force to police ourselves, yada, 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 then these things will only hurt us. We will go backwards. In time, in space, the whole nine yards, and the Most High will have no other choice but to judge us with. But this is how this would look. Okay. Okay. As far as building genuine relationships with the world, let me say it this way. The world wants us to be a partner with it, and it wants us to embrace and build a relationship with it on its terms. But if we truly recognize who we are, then we know we cannot do that. They have to be willing to build relationships with us on our terms, which should be based upon the laws of the Most High, on biblical principles, based upon his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments to be done. And that is how the relationship has to move forward. Or else, we're only doing what our forefathers did. We will take what the Most High has caused us to get, and we will set it at the foot of another Elohim. We'll be worshiping all kind of things. Some of us will be worshiping Buddha. Some of us will be worshiping, Hindi or whoever. Some of us be worshiping the stars, the moon, the sun, creeping things. We would be out of control again, as we are right now. So I really believe that this is something that the Most High has to do. And we ourselves and the nations trying to come to us and saying, hey, well, we know we did you wrong. We know we have a history of doing you wrong. We repent. We turn away from it. We're going to do our best to make reprimands for the past. So we're going to bend over backwards for you. As soon as we try to introduce the Most High, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, as how to have a relationship with us, they will reject it. Into them in the way that they are. But most of our people will reject it. Well, let's say most of our people didn't. Be on the positive side. Let's say they didn't. Then the world would reject it, because then that would mean they have to place themselves up under us. And that's where they don't want to be. That's the reason why they rebelled to begin with. Because the Most High gave us favor, and he says, I will make you the head and not the tail. They never wanted us to be the head. And they know that when we're in our right place, we're going to be the head. They want to keep us as the tail. But we don't have good sense enough to know that all we got to do is do what the Most High said, and he will remove this from us. And we would not be the tail anymore. As a people. So the relationship would be, and you shall rule them with a rod of iron. They would not want to come up under that. And the more I think about it, the more I don't believe a lot of us want as a people, just being real, our own people, the vast majority of us would be dying at our own hands so that we can bring about order. And so in that Revelation chapter 2, verse 27, he's not talking about Messiah. He says that he that overcomes and keeps Messiah's work unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he, the one that overcomes, shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron. We got to be willing to go there. We've got to be willing to go there as a people. And I don't believe a lot of us are. Challenges and hope. Now, this is a big challenge. And it would take a rethinking of the modern world. $40 trillion is a staggering amount of money. And as I said, you know, I can actually, let me do this. Real quick. How many nations in the world have a GDP of $43? And what to say, none. If that one now it says there's no nation with that amount of money. That the United States alone had a GDP below $25 trillion. China follows second largest economy with $20 trillion. The concept of $40 trillion GDP would far exceed the economic output of any single country and would even surpass the combined GDP of the world's largest economy. So what they say they owe us, this is why I really believe they would never pay this to us. Because there's no nation in the world with this that has that kind of economy. And this is how bad that they have cheated us. But think about it. How blessed would we be? How blessed a people would we be if we did what the Most High said to do? If we did that, how blessed would we be? No other country in the world, not even the United States, has a GDP of $40 trillion. It's estimated that they owe us, for 400 years of slavery, $40 trillion. Just in labor. If they pay us free, they can't afford to do it. So we would have to be willing to take less. Could we? Should we? So this is, you know, this is why this is so, and this is why the Most I said, they wouldn't redeem us. There's no way that they could be doing it. Our forefathers, our ancestors couldn't redeem us. So what were we to do? This could only happen up under the Most High. But how blessed would we be as a people if we did what he said for us to do? There will be no nation like us. We will be the most powerful nation on the earth. And not only the most powerful nation on the earth, with Yah beside, you know, behind us, in front of us, with Yah leading us, so you have to be in front. That's the way he has always been. No nation in the world could stand up to us. No nation in the world could even come to us, come, you know, at us. And that's just coming out of the Americas. That's not even us worldwide. But we'd have to be willing to rule ourselves with this rod of iron. Not a different standard for us than it is for the world. This is what they would owe us. They can't pay that debt. And I really do think if we go asking for it, if we truly went asking for it, I think they would be offended. They'd find a way to be offended. And they know that they owe us that. They'd probably try to find ways to kill us. Jacob's trouble. So this restitution has to come from the Most High. Has to come when he establishes us as a people. And whatever the world is going to give us, they have to give it to us willingly at his behalf. He has to put it in their hearts to give it to us. Because it is not going to be in their heart to give us what they don't have, $40 trillion. Are we willing to... My question to us is, are we willing to live by the same standard that Messiah is going to put on the world? Are we willing to come together as a people? And live by this standard? A rod of iron. Are we willing to police our young people and our old people this way? Hold them to this standard? Or are we just talking? That's really what it's going to come down to. Because realistically, as the Most High said, and none shall redeem you. You're not going to be able to pay this debt off. And so it's going to have to come through the Most High. And whatever he says we're owed, that we should be satisfied with, is what we would have to be satisfied with. That's what we would have to be satisfied with. With that being said, let us stay with the scriptures and understand that the Most High said that we would not be redeemed. He would gather us. And we're looking for reparations from a people who can't afford to pay us reparations for what they really owe us. And I really do think that if they don't give us what they owe us, we would never be happy. We would never be made whole. We will always, you know, be in a place where we're complaining that, hey, you never did really pay your debt to us. And they would know that they never really paid their debt, and they would have some type of animosity. And a lot of them would say, hey, you didn't have to work for this. They'd find some kind of way. So let us bow our heads right now. Father Yah, Father, it is you who are in control. of everything that goes on in this world, Father. And even when the world is acting like they want to do us some type of good, we know that a lot of the time, Father, it's just a show. Say that they've done something. They could never repay us what they owe us, what they've taken from us. The blessings that you had for us, they took. The blessings that you put in our hands to prosper us, you said by the curses we would not benefit from them. It has been so great, Father, that what they have taken, they cannot return. And this is the whole world, Father. So, Father, we bow our heads to you humbly. And we repent. We repent before you. Yes. We have been such a foolish people. That we've been so unaware, so unconscious of the riches they set apart for us. And in our own slavery, Father, you've shown us that you blessed us so much in slavery that we all that just went to someone else. Everything that you have for us. They don't even have it, could not get it and repay it to us even now. Beyond their capabilities. So, Father, touch the heart of your people. Give us a mind to truly turn toward you and to repent. And to serve you as you have commanded. Not by our own standard, but by your standard, Father. So as it is written, so let it be done. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray, amen and amen. So I pray that our people are able to come together and understand that based upon the laws of the Most High and the principles of the Most High, that we would come together and that we would apply this to ourselves first before we think that we can apply it to the world. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's our whole duty. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Your evening.
Without you, there's no need. I need a hand. another man. You always said teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign
family. Shalom.
Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Happy Sabbath to you. Get you some rest. And happy birthday again.
Okay, I will. You too.
All right, amen.